The Dan and Maz Show. My fellow Australians, it's time for the first meal of the day. And it's a day that starts with S, which means it must be time for your serving of weekend breakfast. So crank your volume up. To a respectable listening level. It is still quite early. It's time for Dan and Maz Weekend. Hooray!
Makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness. That's what we're talking about.
Morning, legends. It's Dan and Maz Weekends. Hello. Happy Sunday, everybody. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Maz.
Now, Dan, this time last week, you were unaccounted for on the Dan and Maz Show.
Yeah, I was away. I was at my brother's Bucks weekend.
You had the weekend off.
It was you and your pal Jules Lund.
Jules did fill in for you.
Yeah.
And as
it's good to
we
be back,
do,
by the way, Australia. I've missed you. Good to be back.
It's great to have you back.
Thanks.
We did miss you. As always, on the Sunday show, we kicked it off with the Encyclopedia of Awesome.
Great segment.
And
pretty
I thought.
Sure I invented that one, actually. Good on me.
Yep, that's debatable, but that is not where we're going right now. I thought, as duty of care, I would catch you up on what we locked in last week. Have
okay.
a listen.
And today's question is,
what's the best type of book? Now, this is a very intentional encyclopedia of awesome. If you've been listening to the Dan and Maz Show for a while, we do this every single week. You can read all of the entries at danandmaz.com. And I thought, Julesy, you're sitting in for Dan this weekend.
Yep.
We've got an opportunity here to do a topic in the Encyclopedia of Awesome that either A, Dan would never care for, so say something about sport, or something that he would care so deeply about that it would ruin him forever. And I thought, books. So
wow.
We're going to lock in the best type of book, and then it's locked away forever, and I never have to have the conversation with Dan. We had an overwhelming response too. Would you like to hear some of the suggestions, Dan?
Oh, yeah, I would actually, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I reckon my favourite type of book is the old pop-up book.
Yeah, that's good.
I keep the inner childhood going, and I was going to say a sticker book.
I reckon comic books are the best.
Oh.
They are.
I like a good visitor's book.
Oh, you
don't. So a magic eye book with the 3D illusion.
Oh, yes.
So you know when you stare at it and then the image pops up at you?
Oh, that's going
to
be hard to believe.
Yeah. I would like to point out that we did not have one suggestion of a type of book that you can read.
Yeah, I would have said historical metafiction.
I know, but I know. Well, this is how it ended up. This is what we locked in.
Okay.
Jules, the people have spoken. Let's lock it in.
So the final decision was made and entered into the Encyclopedia of Awesome. From this day forward, let it be known that
comic
is the best
type of book.
Yes!
Honourable mentions to Scrapbook and Facebook. Checkbook. Remember those?
Yes, I do. Oh, it was a good one, but we did miss you. Are we going to put another entry into the Encyclopedia of Awesome next?
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Let's open up the Encyclopedia of Awesome.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. And today's question is,
what's the best Aussie TV show?
Burke's Backyard. No, I don't know. That was just literally the first
That's
one that came into
suggestion.
My head.
Oh, that is such a great suggestion. 131060 is the number to call. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or tweet us at Dan and Maz. Best Aussie TV show. We're locking it into the Encyclopedia of Awesome today. You can find all of the other ones online at danandmaz.com.
Maz Compton, what do you reckon? What do you want to chuck a vote in for the best Aussie TV show?
Well, it has to be Heartbreak High, surely.
Oh, whack off, Jurassic!
It was such a good show. Yeah, and
You would know, Maz. You would know it was a good show, wouldn't you?
Yep, because I played Kylie, the school sluz.
Maz had a minor role.
It was typecast at 16 years old.
But look, you've grown up into a beautiful flower.
Thanks.
Actually, you're dressed like a beautiful flower this morning. I quite like that outfit.
I have. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, you look
Heartbreak
great.
High, that's my suggestion. Dan, do you have a suggestion? There's plenty of comments on our Facebook already.
There are. David has said that one about the crazy woman that has sex with all her co-workers, I think it's called Offspring.
What a great synopsis of Offspring that is.
And Sharon has said...
What's Shazza said?
Do you remember this one, Maz? Acropolis Now? Do you remember Acropolis Now? Chicky Babe. It was like when we were kids. Yeah, it was like the comedy company when we were kids. Oh,
is that the era when it was there was fast forward?
Yeah, John English was on it.
And those type of sketch comedy shows?
The golden age of Aussie TV.
It rings a bell. It does ring a bell.
All you millennials will have no idea what we're talking about.
Just Google it for a laugh.
Well, I mean, we're millennials as well, Maz, but we remember. Stand strong. Oh, you're on the cusp.
I'm definitely on the cusp.
All right, 13, 10, 60. Actually, just before when I did my Drazic voice or my Anita voice.
No, that was your Anita voice.
Yes, my Anita voice.
It wasn't your Drazic voice.
Rock off, Drazic. It was a little bit more Madidliana from the Ferals, wasn't it?
Ferals!
Oh, Rattus, you stupid rat. What have you done?
I do believe the Ferals were on before Heartbreak High.
Sorry, me did
the On the ABC back
Up
in the day.
Next is the Ferals. Yeah, and they probably have one of those things where they go, hey guys, up next we're going to show a show. It's a little bit edgy. It's a little bit different. So maybe if you feel like it's a bit too serious for you, maybe flick back for half an hour, watch something else, and then come back and we'll have another show on for you. They used to do that before Degrassi. Remember that? Not an Aussie show, that's Canadian. Anyway.
Degrassi what are you Junior yeah. High. We're asking what the best Aussie TV show is.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We've got to lock something into the Encyclopedia of Awesome. Forever.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. Today's question is...
What's the best Aussie TV show?
G'day there, Cobber. Chuck a dingo on the Barbie and turn on the Bushman's Telegraph because...
Don't chuck a dingo on the Barbie.
Mowing the lawn at the MCG with a pie in my hand and I'm watching the TV. What's on? I'm a good old Aussie dinkum fella and I've got my esky full of lamb chops and crown lager. I'm an Aussie. What am I watching on the TV? 13, 10, 60. Hooroo.
Hooroo. We're after the best Aussie TV show for the Encyclopedia of Awesome this morning. You can tweet us. We're at Dan and Maz. Shane has said on Twitter, Agro's cartoon connection.
Ah, Agro.
Excellent suggestion. Emma has said Round the Twist is a classic dudes.
It is a classic dudes.
Classic dudes. We've got Brandon on 13, 10, 60. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we?
Brando, we're good. What is the best Aussie TV show, Brandon?
Well, this one's a bit of a classic, a little bit before my time, but I still do love it. It's the good old Blue Heelers.
Oh. Crank it.
Yeah.
PJ Hashem and Maggie Doyle and Tom Croydon and the
Summer's
a
fan.
Yeah, I used to love that show.
All the gang up in Mount Thomas. There was always something going on in that little town.
Yeah,
Mount Thomas, the crime capital of Australia.
That's it.
Thank you, Brandon. Robin has called us as well on 13, 10, 60. Good morning.
I'd like to go a little bit more old school than that guy.
Wow.
Sure, you can. Go for it.
It has to be the good old classic from Wandon Valley, A Country Practice.
Oh, yeah, that was a pretty good one too.
Crank it.
And I think it gets the longest running drama series, Australian drama series.
Such goosebumps. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps on my human flesh from this song. Oh, it just sounds like just... Oh. I never even watched the show. I don't know.
You know the theme, though.
Everybody remembers when Molly died.
Not me. Yeah.
And also, spoilers, I was going to binge watch it on Netflix.
As it?
Jeez.
Robin, thank you. Let's go to Sophie, who's also called up. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Best Aussie TV show, Soph.
My all-time favourite is McLeod's Daughters.
Oh, Maggie D's.
Yep. Just love them. I think my parents got so sick of me because they'd get me box sets for my birthdays and I would just watch it on repeat.
Yep. It was good times.
Oh, that show always looked a bit terrible from where I was sitting. Never really interested me. I guess it's because it had daughters in the title and I was like a teenage boy. So I'm not going to watch some stupid show about chicks.
Oh, jeez.
What was Channel B? Mackie D's. All right. What do we got next?
Lauren.
Hi.
Hey, Loz.
Hey, Loz.
I'd like to put in Around the Twist for Rage on a Saturday and Sunday morning, early 90s.
Rage.
They're two solid suggestions. Rage was a good one. Round the Twist. Yep. We've had a lot of tweets about that. I think that's a very popular suggestion.
Is Rage still on?
Nah.
It is, but it's nothing like what it was in the 90s.
I wouldn't know because we're on air.
Oh, that's true.
Like, if it's on, it's
on
now.
I didn't think it was still on. Yeah. I thought they cancelled that in, I don't know, 2006 or something.
Yeah, I thought I was the only thing that happens at this time of day. So many options. All right.
Really, there really are. Shall we buzz out to producer Diggs in the phone room?
Hey, guys.
Hey, mate.
Thanks for taking all the calls, man.
Sounding a bit flat today. You're right.
You're good.
He's
down here.
He's a bit stressed, Mazzy, because he's
doing
it on his own.
There's so much going on. The phones are ringing off the hook.
They really are. Have you got an honourable mention, Producer Diggs?
I do. Okay, honourable mention is Burke's Backyard.
Oh, it is.
Give me a home amongst the gum trees.
Oh, that was a really good show.
Also, another good one that we didn't get to from Jamie was Who Dares Win?
Mike Whitney and Tanya Zayeta.
All right, what gets the popular vote? What are we locking in forever into our Encyclopedia of Awesome as the best Australian TV show? Producer Diggs?
Around the Twist.
Jimmy.
And so the final decision was made and entered into the Encyclopedia of Awesome. From this day forward, let it be known that
Around the Twist
is the best
Aussie TV show. Round.
And it's round,
it's
not
round.
Around.
It's not
just
around,
FYI.
The lighthouse is round.
Get it? Good.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Chatterbox is my online web series.
Well done, Maz.
Thanks, Dan.
Love your web series where you grill celebrities.
Well, we sit down and have a chat on a couple of milk crates.
You grill
really?
Them. You go Grimshaw. you get right to the core of their being, and then you twist, and they squirm and they open up.
It's really just a friendly chat.
Yep.
This week, my guest on Chatterbox, which you can see on Yahoo 7B, or we will put the videos up on our Facebook, Dan and Maz Facebook page, is Commando Steve. You would know him from TBL, The Biggest Loser.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And it was so interesting. I did not know this about Commando Steve. He is a massive nerd. He loves philosophy. And he was explaining to me about like all the books that he's really into at the moment. And I was like, this is just does not seem like the guy that we see on the TV. And I think in my brains, I was like, I had this perception that he is just that commando character, right,
shouting
on the TV show. And he's got his sunglasses on and he's got, you know, all of his emotional walls are up.
Maz, I'm a bit of a book nerd as well and you got me hooked. I want to hear this.
Okay, well, we started the chat off talking about how he actually got into personal training after leaving the army.
In my thinking and my transition from the military to civilian life, I asked myself the question, you know, what is it that I enjoyed? And I always enjoyed training. I was a very hyperactive youngster.
Yeah.
I guess, hence finding myself in the army and, you know, doing everything that I've done. So in the transition into a civilian life, I thought, I'm going to go and do my courses, you know personal training and the like.
Surgery,
was starting to
diploma, yeah, all of it.
Yeah. I did the courses, and again, being introduced to CrossFit, you know, the synergies that were within CrossFit that I found were very similar to what I had in the military, the camaraderie, the like-mindedness, you know, all of those things helped me in that transition.
Is the transition from being in the army to being a civilian a very difficult one?
That transition is probably the hardest thing you can do. If you fast forward to where we are or I am now and looking back at that transition again, the CrossFit side of things really helped me. And what that did was gave me something to attach to and
a purpose
and identity. And when you're a part of the military for so long, you know, you're under that, that overarching mission and what it means to serve your country.
Yeah.
When you step out from underneath that, who are you?
Yep.
All of a sudden, because you haven't invested in who you are, all of that time and energy is being invested into being a soldier and what that means to kind of be the cog in the wheel and do the job that you used to do.
Now, the next transition that you did is to TV star.
It's been a progression, I shouldn't say. I was going to say a natural progression. It definitely has been natural.
I don't think there's anything natural about that.
You know, finding myself on the set of The Biggest Loser initially, I was pretty green. You know, I'd only been in Civilian Street for
not all that long.
The character and the role that I filled was naturally selected. So I was just that person at that point in time.
Wow.
I was very much, you know, singly minded in the sense of you're in or out. And that's very much, you know, the life that I come from in the army. Here's the expectation, live up to the standard, or there's the door. When I was asked to come onto the show in a full-time role, I couldn't be that old, the commander was such. If I was just that guy that stood there with my arms crossed and barked orders, you know, and that was what they were showing every night on television.
Well, it gets boring.
Exactly. So, you know, to learn to actually articulate myself and you know, talk better, or actually talk, I'm amazed that...
And now you don't shut up. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I know.
There you go. Maz Compton, you go on her show and she insults you.
Pretty much. I've managed to insult every single one of our guests so far.
It's playful teasing, yeah. Maz.
No, it really is. He was an absolute delight. We're going to stick that video on our Facebook page.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Real Estate Watch, brand new segment on the Dan and Maz Show.
Is it though? Because this is that music, Maz.
I know. It's a Harry Potter story and I'm trying to dress it up as Real Estate Watch.
I managed to squeeze two Harry Potter segments into the show this weekend because I had one yesterday and I've got another one today.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have to dwell on the Harry Potter part of the story,
would
really.
Would you be bringing this up, though, if it didn't have Harry Potter in it? Of course not. It would just be a typical house for sale in England, but...
That's true.
It's not. It's number 4 Privet Drive.
The actual Harry Potter childhood home is officially, it's on the market. I don't know if it's on domain.com.au, not sure. But it is for sale. It's a 3-bedroom townhouse. Obviously, there's a cupboard under the stairs.
Ooh.
It's in Bracknell, in Reading, which is in England, obviously.
Where the music festival is, surely.
Yeah, the Reading Music Festival, that's definitely a thing. My auntie and uncle live near there, anyway.
Oh, yeah, you can pop in and see the Comptons.
It's on the market for £475,000.
Which post-Brexit is, I think, $2? that's a financial markets joke.
$822,000.
Okay.
Which, when you think about it, I mean, prices in definitely Sydney are astronomical.
That's how much a cupboard under the stairs would go for in Sydney.
100%.
You know, you could put the cupboard under the stairs on Airbnb and make that back because everyone would want to stay there.
Probably a good idea if you could acquire the house and then you would just rent it out as the famous house from Harry Potter, surely.
Let's do some house chat.
House chat.
131060, okay? Is your house famous?
Okay.
If you lived in this house, you could tell everyone. This is
Harry Potter house. I live in the Harry Potter house. And everyone knows what it looks like. If you've seen the movies, I've only read the books, but still I can imagine.
It looks just like you imagine, Maz. You should watch them. They're good. They're a faithful, they're a faithful recreation.
I don't have time.
I've got an example to kick us off, but 131060, famous house. If you lived in a famous house, my friend used to go around for a while when we were at uni and he always go, guess what? We go, what, mate? What, Tony? And we go, Barack Obama has seen my house.
How is that even possible?
Because he read in an interview that Barack Obama's favourite TV show was the Tom Hanks miniseries, The Pacific.
Okay.
And a scene from that was filmed in my mate's house.
Oh, no way.
Famous house.
Famous house. 131060, if you live in a famous house, you know someone. I loosely have a story.
All right, go, Maz.
I think it qualifies. So I went to high school in America for a little while in Chicago, and one of the guys in our grade at school at New Trier High, his name was Brian Rolene, and he is the nephew of the guy that owned and lived in at the time of the Home Alone house.
Famous house.
Famous house. I think that qualifies. I'm not friends with Brian these days at all, and I'm pretty sure they sold the house, but still, at the time, it was in the 90s, famous house.
What about this one, Maz? Final thought. What about if it's like a neighbourhood famous house? Like, I remember in Perth, if anyone's listening to us in Perth, up like Scarborough way, there was like that blue house. The blue...
Because everyone blue knew
house. It. What if you lived in the blue house? Famous house!
Okay, 131060, give us a call. Do you live in a famous house or do you know of one? And we'll take your calls next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We're after on 131060, do you live in a famous house?
Yeah.
This is inspired by the Harry Potter house.
It's for sale. You can buy it if you're a real Potterhead.
Or if you've got a heap of money and you want to invest in the UK real estate market, there's plenty of options out there as to why you would purchase Harry Potter's childhood home. But it is for sale. That'd be cool, I reckon. You get a lot more friends.
You get a friend over and you go, do you recognise this place? And they'd be like, no. And you'd go, oh,
what about
the
cupboard under the stairs? Exactly.
Hide a little boy wizard in there. Can I go home now? No.
Yeah, the boy wizard comes with the house. They throw it in as a bonus. Okay, we want to know if you live or have lived in a famous house. And Gary has called up. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, really Gary.
Good, you got a famous house going on?
Well, a little bit famous. Our elderly neighbour told us that Yvonne Corley, or she used to be called Yvonne Goolagong, lived in our house.
Yvonne Goolagong, the tennis player?
Yeah, lived in our house with her family when she moved down from the country when she was playing.
So you have a famous historical housemate.
Yeah, sort of.
So anyone who's seen the Yvonne Goolagong Corley documentary would go, there's Gary's house.
We'll take it. Cool story.
We'll take it.
Gary. We've got Sophie on 131060. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey, babe.
We lived in the house that the Harlem Shake was originally built.
Oh. What?
That's true, because wasn't it like it was like four lads from the Central Coast or Queensland or something?
Yeah.
All right.
And they filmed it in the bedroom that my son was sleeping.
Wow. That is actually really impressive. I really like, that's kind of one of the most famous bedrooms in the world.
That took over the globe, definitely.
For better or worse, Maz. For better or worse. Wasn't that a strange week here at the radio station? Come on, put on
everyone
costumes.
Everyone do the Harlem
Shake. Come on,
shake.
Do it. It's like, mate, seriously.
We have to.
What the world needs now is not another Harlem Shake
video. It'll be over in 2 weeks, guys.
Put on the station Facebook. All right, fine.
Got to go viral. Make a viral video. That's
didn't
my favourite
request. Didn't we change
request.
The world? Didn't we change the world, Maz?
Really
didn't we
did.
Change the world?
And all inspired by the room that Sophie's son sleeps in.
Oh.
Stacey, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Stace, have you got a famous house?
Yeah.
Mine's a little bit strange.
I mean, a bit of a strange Stacey.
No,
all right.
It's a funny story.
Is it good? Because we love funny stories on this show.
I had dinner in the house that the door from the Notting Hill movie with Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts was the front door.
Hang on. So you're saying that they took the door from the movie set and they put it on your house?
No, the blue door in the movie of Notting Hill,
of
a different house. It's from a different house in the movie.
Stacey,
and the house that actually belonged to was the house I had dinner in.
So, Stacey, oh, wow. Are you saying the exterior shots
yes.
of this house?
So, who owns the house with the blue door? Who do you know that owns the house with the blue door?
It was a friend of the guy that made those movies.
Director friend.
Director friend. So you got Hollywood friends. So you've got Hollywood friends, Stacey.
No, I had a friend who had a Hollywood friend. I mean, who's got a Hollywood friend? Not me.
I do. Maz Compton. My best friend.
That's definitely not your Hollywood friend.
You said you're on Heartbreak High. Hollywood on the Gold Coast, maybe.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You're waking up with Dan and Maz Weekend.
Everything lights up. Makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness. That's what we're talking about.
Morning, legends. It's Dan and Maz Weekends. Before 9 a.m, we're doing a pun war.
Ooh. So if make sure you got your thinking brain on.
Totally. If you want a bit of a clue, are you thinking brain? As opposed to your resting brain?
I don't know. I'm just talking. It's my job.
Thinking
I just talk.
Cap.
This is literally my job. Wow.
Make sure you put on your thinking boots. If you want a clue as to what the topics for the pun war are, it's on our Facebook page. We're Dan and Maz on Facebook. So go and have a look at that if you've got some time this morning.
Make sure you wrap yourself in your thinking toga first, though. Up next, Maz, we're a funny show. We're a silly show. We like to laugh, but you're bringing a serious topic to the table.
Well, yes. It's just another regular week for Maz Compton, and I nearly got caught up in some cybercrime.
It's a cautionary tale because people might hear what you've got to say and it might warn them and it could help their lives.
Hopefully. We'll help you out. We'll help you avoid any criminal activity on the line.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
I do have a story to share from the week that actually really freaked me out because I was almost involved in cybercrime.
Yeah, like I saw on social media, Maz, because we're social media friends, because you and I are good friends, that you are selling your car.
I am.
And I saw that. I disregarded it immediately because I don't have a driver's
license.
You have
no use for a car.
I don't know how to drive. Yeah, and they're shocking investments. But I saw it and I noted that away. I said, oh, there we go. That's what's going on in my best friend Maz's life.
Not best friend.
And then when you came in the other day for our planning meeting.
Don't say things like that because this is a serious segment. And when you start saying that we're best friends, people will think that you're joking. So
no, it's an obvious fact. But when you came in the other day, you were like, oh, so, because I was like, hey, babe, how's it going selling your car? Didn't
say
that.
You never call me babe, ever.
And I also don't ask about your life. I just come in and start talking about my life.
No, you never ask about my life.
But anyway,
ever.
So you started talking about your life and you have this, it's gone off the rails.
It's a crazy story.
You and selling your car, it's gone off the rails.
It's gone crazy.
Incredibly fascinating.
And this, I assure you, this 100% happened during the week and it really freaked me out because I'd like to think that I'm quite savvy and that I'm a smart person.
You are
and
not
I nearly
savvy
got,
or smart based on this one.
Well, I feel like a real duffer. I really do. So this is the story. So my car is up for sale. So it's on carsales.com.
What kind of car is it?
It's a Volkswagen
A Maserati.
Golf. No, it's a Volkswagen Golf 2011.
It's a Ferrari Testarossa.
Stop it.
It's a Lamborghini.
It's not.
It's a Maybach.
It's a Golf. I just said it three times.
It's a big purple Rolls Royce Phantom.
Not. My car is for sale. It's not the Batmobile. It's just a regular car.
It's just a regular car.
I'm trying
car.
To sell my flipping car. Yeah. And so you obviously have a phone number attached to the ad. And I got a text message. Say, I've had a few inquiries about the car. Usually they come via text. So it's a range of people going, what's the lowest price you can do? Or can you confirm a few details? Or can I come and look at the car? And I got this one text and it said, could you email me some more pictures of the car and with an email address? So I jumped online, sent a few more photos and just asked, just said, hey, here are the photos. Let me know if I can help you out with anything else. And then Stanley Perry wrote me back an email.
How's the name and shame right there?
Stanley Perry wrote me an email.
So,
well, this is the thing. We went back and forth on email a couple of times and he basically agreed that he was like, this is the car for me. I'm going to purchase it. And I'm thinking, do you know the whole time my gut instinct was there's something not quite right here, but I just persisted because I really want to sell the car.
Was it because he was also like the Prince of Nigeria and he wanted you to send you $400 million?
Not at all. Like, it really was a believable story. So okay. He said he was currently overseas. He was shipping this car internationally. So he was going to get a shipping company to come and pick up the car. And he was going to wire the money through PayPal for the sale. And he was like, give me the address of where to pick the car up after I've wired you the money. And I'm going to wire you an extra $2,000 to pay the shipping company. I'm like, that's fine. I can totally organize that. That's easy. And I'm like, yes, sold my car. It's getting shipped away. This is great.
Yeah, all sounds legit.
All above board, all through PayPal. I made the PayPal requests. Like, it was all legitimate. And then this is when the wheels started falling off.
Not off the car. The car's still great.
No, the car's completely fine and the car is still for sale, mind you.
So what was the first sign that things were not as they seemed?
So then he said, so I got an email from PayPal service, saying that they had withdrawn X amount of dollars from Stanley Perry's PayPal account and it was being held by PayPal. And once I had made the transaction for the shipping company, then they would release all of the funds into my account. So I was not under the impression that it was going to roll that way. I thought that Stanley was going to wire me the money for the shipping and then I'd pay the shipping company with his cash.
You should not be putting any money into this.
Ever, right?
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, crap, they've taken this money off this guy. And so he's right. So then I had this like moral dilemma. I'm like, what do I do? This guy's been deducted this money and then I've got to pay for the shipping company. Anyway, I ended up doing it. Idiot.
Oh.
I transferred $2,000 through MoneyGram to this name and address overseas on the promise from service at paypal.com.au. That they and I got it in writing from this email address, this PayPal address, saying, I said, I need a written confirmation that my money is secure, that you'll release the funds once I've wired this transfer. Oh, and they said, yes, 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 yes. And as soon as I did it, I was like, no. Oh, you idiot. I was like, I'm never going to hand over money to some random person. And I've just gone and done it because I felt really guilty. As soon as I did it, I called MoneyGram and I said, I've just done this really
abort,
dumb thing.
Abort, abort.
Yeah, I did. I was like, I've just done
undo,
this really dumb
undo.
Thing. So as I'm on the phone to MoneyGram, I get another email from Stanley Bloody Perry. And he's like harassing me a little bit now going, have you made the transfer? Can you send the receipt to PayPal so that they can release your funds? And it all started looking really dodgy. And then he's like, I need you to change the name of the recipient of the MoneyGram transfer. And I was like, oh no, this is bad. So I'm on the phone to MoneyGram and I read them that latest email that came through as I was on the phone. And they're like, this is 100% a scam.
Nah.
You are so lucky. We can stop this transfer and give you a refund reference number immediately. Go and get your money back immediately, which I went and did. And then I had to report it to the police and Scamwatch. I had to fill out a Scamwatch report online.
Ooh.
And I never heard from Stanley Perry again. How insane is that?
Maz,
I fully nearly got scammed. I'm so lucky that I got my money back.
And you are like not like an old impressionable old lady who just says yes to anyone.
I was so upset. Like, I actually felt really violated and I felt unsafe because I was like maybe two emails away from sending my address details to this person.
Yeah.
And that's like a whole nother level of safety concern, really.
Wow.
So,
it can happen to anyone, even 13, savvy, smart Maz Compton.
131060, I want to know, did you get fully scammed?
Yeah.
I did. I'm going to say that I did get fully scammed.
Yeah.
And then I was really lucky that we caught it at the very, very last second.
Give us a call. Tell us your story. I mean, I've got some business opportunities I'd like to pitch to you as well. They're not pyramid schemes. I promise they're not pyramid schemes. They're legit.
I think
we're after impressionable people.
Online scams definitely happen all of the time, but they're
well already
even
we're getting heaps of calls,
Matt.
We're getting heaps of calls right now. But
right,
even
30,
not online.
10, 60.
Yeah, just shifty people on the street or whatever. Yeah, great.
Did you get fully scammed? Much like myself. We'll talk to you next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
131060 is our number. We're talking about cybercrime this morning because I was almost caught up in An online scam.
You were caught up, definitely, because you did actually send $2,000 to a scammer. But
I
you
did.
Managed.
I got it back.
To just get out. And what were you saying, Maz, about when you read like the...
Oh, so what? So when I thought I'd sold my car to this mystery person who nearly scammed me out of $2,000. Stanley Perry.
If that is your real name, which it definitely isn't.
When we were corresponding and I really felt like he was buying my car, that he was going to ship overseas, I took the ad off car sales because I was like, it's sold. And then I reinstated the ad after everything unfolded and I reported the scam to ScamWatch. And on the very front page of car sales, it says, and it's great that they've got it there because they're obviously aware, it says, never respond to somebody who texts you and asks you to email them.
And that is exactly what you did.
First point of contact. So I've learnt my lesson. And if there's anybody listening that is selling anything online, do not respond to somebody that asks you to email them. Just like make a phone call or text them back. But do not get involved in an email banter because that's when everything went pear-shaped for me.
131060, if you've been involved in a similar situation to Maz, we've got Dave on the line. Dave, you've got a bit of a bombshell to drop.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I had exactly the same guy.
What? Stanley Perry?
Yes, exactly the same guy. And I was selling a Toyota Hilux. And, he sent me an email stating a very similar story, but he said he was working on a ship over in New Zealand and he had very limited internet access.
Yeah, and, I had the limited internet access tagline.
Very similar story and trying to be very trustworthy and sounding quite trustworthy and stuff like that. But
yeah,
Requested same docs and saying that you transfer $1,000 additional to me so I can pay the shipping fees.
Did you end up wiring the MoneyGram money?
No, I didn't. So,
you're smarter than Mass then.
Yep, definitely smarter than me.
I googled up his name before I actually done it, like just before the money transfer was going to happen or anything like that, and came up. His name was a scam artist. So,
I was blinded by the dollar signs. I didn't think to do a Google search. Yeah.
I mean, a lesson to people is whoever requests something like that, just to Google up their name.
I've got to say, Dave, I can't believe that Maz didn't do that. Cause, I mean, if I'm going on a Tinder date, I'm Googling their name. Like, you're sending this guy thousands of dollars you didn't even Google.
It's true. Did we disguise Dave's voice then so that he can?
Nah, Dave's just got a great bassy voice.
Oh,
yeah.
Good voice.
We got Sid on the line, 131060. Sid, have you been in a scam like Maz?
Yes, we got done with a horse.
Were buying a horse?
We were buying a horse. We were in southern Queensland. The horse was situated down near Sydney. My wife spoke to the owner, the woman that was selling the horse, and the horse sounded very, very much right what she wanted. We spoke to a very, very reputable trainer.
Yeah.
Really?
A national reputable trainer, and she swore that this horse was the way to go and everything. Anyway, we transferred it was $7,500. We actually had to insure the horse as well while everything was getting settled on the property. Anyway, we got the horse. He turned up on a horse truck. He didn't look quite as good a condition as what we've seen on the video and everything.
Sid.
Anyway, we the video we watched has all come back. It's very sort of pixelated, not 100%.
Oh.
Anyway, the horse was an absolute nutcase. And there's no, and he actually nearly, my wife's been riding since she was 5, we're in our 40s, she nearly actually give up riding because of this horse.
Oh,
and,
Sid.
A couple of weeks later, after we confronted, we actually tried to return the horse. The woman said, I can't do it. I've spent your money.
Oh, man.
We turned around and through social media, similar to where I found this horse for me wife, there was the same video selling another horse.
Yeah. So it's just a total scam.
I'm just imagining like you opening up the horse wagon and it's just like two men in
just
a suit.
Feral.
You know, like when they have like the pantomime horse.
I don't know if Sid's in the market for a Volkswagen Golf, but...
Well, the horse is just like, moo. I mean, nay.
We've got Andy on 131060. Hey, Andy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Andy.
Yeah, good. Have you been caught up in an online scam?
No, I haven't been caught on an online scam, but I'm really interested in your car.
Okay, Andy, I'm not going to email you my details.
Oh, okay. All right. Good idea.
All Andy wants is $2,000 on MoneyGram. And Maz is like, done.
Andy, I can give you the ad details on carsales.com.au and you can go and check it out and then we can chat on text.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a pun war.
Here comes another pun.
Quick setup, 131060. Give us a call with your puns around animals and clothing. 131060, or tweet us at Dan and Maz because we'll be reading them out from Twitter as well. Animals and clothing. It is inspired by the cat bag that you can see on our Facebook. An artist. I'm going to really quickly because it's a visual story, not a verbal one.
But it's just amazing.
Imagine an artist has taxidermied a cat into a handbag.
That fully legit happened.
It actually happened in the news this week. And so we are doing a pun war. Animals, not just cats, and clothing. Now, this was a tough one for me, Maz, because I don't know much about fashion or items of clothing. I was
that
like...
That is definitely true.
I was like, what about ants? Pants.
Hey, that's a good start. That's a good start, my friend. 131060, animals and clothing. We need your best puns.
Items of clothing, brands of clothing, fashion designers, animals. Think of animals or think of clothes and turn them into puns, then 131060.
Animals and fashion. 131060 animal or fashion. At Denimus.
Yeah, animal fashion.
Dan and Maz Weekends. Here comes another pun. 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 Here comes another pun. Pun, 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 punny. Pun, pun, pun. Pun, pun, pun. Pun, pun.
Animal fashion. We are after animal fashion. So think of clothing, fashion designers, items of clothing, and... Give us an animal pun based on that. We're already getting calls on 131060. Don't forget, you can tweet us as well at Dan and Maz on Twitter. Animal fashion puns.
Do you want to start, Dan?
I know. I did do ants before. I did come out with ants.
That was a good
ants.
Start. We're starting off slowly. That's okay.
Nah, that's pretty good. I thought I'm not much of a fashionista, but all right, let's take it away. Pun war starts now.
Alrighty.
Pun war starts. 131060, give us a call and we'll bloody do it. Come on, that's time starts.
I think.
Keep calling.
There
we
go.
There it is.
Now we're in
that's
the zone.
That's good because I was getting ready. I was about to slip on my turtleneck.
Oh, that's a That's
that was
a good
one.
What about the fresh pair of sneakers?
See, I was trying to think of one for sneakers and I couldn't bloody come
sneakers?
Up with one.
Matt's on 131060. What's your pun?
Stop making me laugh. You'll make me poo my pants.
Okay, see now. All right. Didn't need to put a bit of toilet humour in there, Matt.
Well, he's wearing his puma pants.
He is. I wonder if on the top he's also wearing a wind cheetah. Cheetah. Like that, yeah.
What about all the ballerinas getting around in their tutu cans?
Oh, yeah. Or up top, a female undergarment might be a zebra.
Ange is on 131060. What is your pun?
A waist goat.
Oh,
I had trench goat.
Oh, and I had none of those. The best I had for in terms of formal wear was a tuxedo Doberman. Doberman. Mine are not good.
I had a couple of shoe ones. What about some pug boots?
Or Maz, or some hush puppies.
Oh, excellent.
Or a socktopus.
We've got Josie on 131060. Jose.
I bought some fluffy shih tzus.
Okay.
What?
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say you're going for shoes.
Oh, there. I get it. Yeah, shoes.
Stay on.
But the... also a type of dog, a breed of dog. All I get it. That's a good one.
What about fashion designers, Maz? Have you got any of those?
Oh, yeah, Shark Jacobs.
Oh, what about Armani Dillo?
Emily?
A purse? Like a purse.
Yeah, all right. What about headwear, Maz? Did you get Bandana Conda?
No, I got Top Cat.
Oh, okay. I want to bring it home with, I've got two. It depends if you want to go French or Mexican, because I could either end it on beret or sombrero.
Well, they were both good, and I think that everyone will agree that if we all dress like this, we'd be dressed to the canines.
Great, right, there we go. Here comes another pun. 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 Here comes another pun. Pun, 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 punny, pun, pun, pun. And even when you're just standing around with no clothes on, you're standing around in the Buffalo.
Dan and Maz Weekend.
It's almost time for us to get out of here and let you enjoy your Sunday. But before we do, let's recap all the news you didn't need to care about.
This week, the boffins at NASA gave everyone a new zodiac sign.
The new sign is named Ophiuchus and is the new sign of those born from November 29th to December 17th, which means about 86% of people, myself included, are going to have a new sign.
What? Hold up! NASA clarified this week, this discovery is nothing new. There have always been 13 zodiac signs, but those pesky Babylonians back in the day created our current system to fit their 12-month calendar. Whoa! That was crazy, because for a minute there, I went from being a courageous, determined, confident Aries to a friendly, artistic, intuitive Pisces.
Lucky they aren't all made up.
The front page of the Herald Sun introduced us to Amy and Ashley, a.k.a. the new breed of Aussie bludger, a.k.a. neets.
Not in employment, education or training.
A.k.a. two young Aussies who would rather hang out at Macca's than get a bloody job.
I tell them that I don't want to work to die. I'd rather not work for your bums than drop me family and friends.
And what about yourself?
Yeah, pretty much the same.
Except here's the thing. Amy isn't on Centrelink. She's just finished year 12. She had a part-time job. She's going to go to TAFE. Basically, the opposite of not in employment, education or training. It was a lie.
Check the facts, journos.
And finally, Brangelina.
No!
Stop it. Why do we care so much about this? Did you know, Australia, that pretty much exactly as their divorce news broke, another story broke as well, that Donald Trump, the racist who could be president, has been taking money out of his charities, $250,000, to pay his legal bills. And you were all posting Jennifer Aniston memes. The future hangs in the balance, people. Don't miss the important stories.
And that's the news you didn't need to care about.
It is
Whoa, that got real intense.
I've got, it's the Trump versus Clinton debate on Tuesday. That's I'm gonna be watching that. It's
Tuesday, 11 a.m. our time.
That's true, Maz, yes. I was just saying that off there.
Calendar appointment, that.
I just made one.
Did
I'm gonna
you
sit
really?
And watch it. Yeah. Well, you know, the world is an important place, guys. Don't get distracted by the clickbait and the BS. There's a lot of stuff going on that we should get really passionate about. Anyway.
Then, Trump is running for president. So when you want to talk about BS, you just kind of go,
We're here making puns about animals and fashion.
That is true. Guys, thanks for joining us this weekend. We are back next weekend. The show starts 7 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday morning. And it lives online at danandmaz.com or at danandmaz on the socials. See ya.
Dan and Maz Weekends.